Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
This blows my mind. Last year, because Ford Motor Company couldn't get access to enough chips, even for simple things like windshield wipers, they couldn't put together the windshield wipers. Ford's workers in Michigan and Indiana only worked a full week three times in the entire year. They were furloughed. They were put out of work because they couldn't put it together because they didn't have the chips.
Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo last week during a speech at Georgetown University, fewer chips meant fewer cars, and that meant higher prices for all of us. Well, today, the Biden administration is dangling a pretty big carrot above manufacturers to try to boost production of semiconductor chips used for everything from cars to medical devices to smartphones, even military weapons. Tens of billions of dollars worth of federal subsidies. In return, these companies will have to make sure their employees have access to affordable childcare and limit stock buybacks, and even share some of their profits with the federal government. Anna Swanson joins me now. She covers trade and international economics for the New York Times. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the opening of the applications is today, and will there be a big rush to get this, what, $40 billion worth of federal subsidies, do you think?
Yeah, so I think companies have been eagerly awaiting the release of this application. It's kind of the official unveiling of this big new program to build up semiconductor research and manufacturing in the United States. The Commerce Department has $50 billion to hand out in the form of grants and loans, and it's a lot of money. It's one of the largest federal investments in a single industry in decades. But given the huge cost of building these advanced semiconductor facilities, it could actually go fast, and competition for the money has been pretty intense. So I expect companies to really start vying for some of these funds in the weeks and months to come.
Okay, so in exchange, as I just mentioned, they're going to have to agree to certain conditions. Can you go into detail about these conditions?
Yeah, so there definitely are some strings attached here. You know, some of the interesting conditions that you mentioned are the requirement to provide childcare for some of their workers. The Commerce Department has described this as a way actually to ensure that the companies have access to the labor that they need, saying that labor markets are currently tight. But there's been kind of a lot of scrutiny on, you know, whether the federal government is asking more of companies than it has before. And then there are a variety of financial requirements for companies that are accepting the money. The Commerce Department said it would give preference to those that refrain from stock buybacks. Also, there's a requirement for companies to potentially share any unexpected profits that they might incur with the U.S. government. And the Commerce Department really described this as an effort to make sure that companies are as accurate and honest as possible when they're giving financial projections for these projects, that they wouldn't, you know, for example, exaggerate their costs or their losses in an attempt to get more money, because when they make that money, they will then just have to share it with the federal government.
I see. But wouldn't that encourage them to pad their losses so they wouldn't have to share the profits?
I guess that will remain to be seen. You know, the Commerce Department has said that they're bringing on former investment bankers and industry executives who are really going to get into the books of these companies and figure out the financials for these products. But there are a lot of critics saying that, you know, these companies can be really opaque. And when you save a dollar one place in the United States, you can spend that dollar elsewhere, for example, on your operations abroad. So I think it's going to be a very tricky act to kind of, you know, ensure that the money is spent in the right place. But the ultimate goal is to build up these semiconductor facilities that can help supply more of the chips that the United States needs.
And let's talk more about the child care provision here, because is that also an attempt to lure women into this sphere? And women are, in general, underrepresented in manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely. So the requirement is for companies seeking awards of $150 million or more, so some of the larger awards, to guarantee affordable child care for the construction workers and for the plant operators.
Tell us more about that part, the child care part.
Yeah, so they need to guarantee affordable, high-quality child care for plant construction workers and operators. So that could mean that they build a company child care center near the construction site, or they could pay a local child care provider to add some capacity, or they could subsidize their workers' care costs. And the Commerce Department has said that this will help draw more people, more women mainly, into the labor force at a time when businesses are already struggling to attract workers in a relatively tight labor market.
Is there enough childcare, though, to be able to supply these workers with affordable childcare?
Well, that's a good question, because it's also a tight labor market for childcare workers, right? So, you know, the administration, the government right now is preparing to spend a lot of money into what is, you know, a relatively kind of strong economy and a tight labor market. And these dollars will be competing with other businesses. These semiconductor construction sites and companies plan to hire thousands, you know, perhaps even tens of thousands of workers, and those workers are going to have to come from somewhere, which is, you know, namely other businesses. So I think there are some big questions about, you know, if this vision is realized, what that is going to do to the economy, to the labor market, and also to inflation.
So is this an attempt on the part of the Biden administration to get through some social policy parts of their agenda in kind of a, I don't know, backroom way, in a way that they couldn't address it directly by mandating that companies provide child care in a straight up bill? And so they're attaching it to this bill that passed with bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm. I think some critics do see it that way. I think the administration would counter that this is kind of part of their, you know, more holistic mission of just ensuring that these companies have access to workers, and that, you know, companies in the United States generally operate in the way that they want them to, with, you know, high paying union jobs or using clean energy. But certainly for, you know, some economists, some critics of the program, this is reaching beyond what the government should traditionally do in terms of economic policy.
And do we know yet what the reaction has been among these companies? Are they balking at this, or are they thinking, okay, sure, no problem?
The statements from the companies have been mostly positive. I think, you know, you have to note that it's a critical time for companies where they're just beginning to apply to the federal government mm-hmm. for this money. So they're probably understandably going to be a bit hesitant to, you know, criticize the hand that is currently preparing them their dinner, I think.
Yeah.
But
if they don't do this, will they lose their funding?
Yes, in some cases they would not qualify for funding. In other cases, they might not be given preference. So, for example, the department is giving preference to companies that agree to avoid stock buybacks for a period of 5 years. So it's not clear that companies will indeed, you know, promise to do that, but just that if they were to do that, they would get preference over a company that may not promise to do that.
Anna Swanson covers trade and international economics for the New York Times. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, more than 100,000 people lost power in this last series of storms. Why isn't Southern California better prepared? That's next on Press Play.